work hard at living at peace with everyone. Here's what I know, that you, when you have been hurt, emotionally hurt, when there's an injury inside of your heart, it's that people that are hurt want to hurt back. How about it?
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio, straightforward biblical teaching about things that matter. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck. I'm here today with Pastor Mark Jobe, author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church here in the city of Chicago. And Pastor Mark, this series that you're taking us through now, Facing Your Feelings, wow, I mean, what a powerful, powerful look at what God's Word has to say with these deep things that we often push aside, don't look at, we run from, we're afraid to deal with, and yet God's Word guides us right to the heart of it.
He really does. And today we're looking at discouragement in the life of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is an incredible character with a huge task, but got very discouraged, but fought off discouragement. And here's what I want listeners to know today. Fear makes you forget what faith has made clear already. It just makes us forget what we saw clearly in the light. And so what we learn from Nehemiah is that we really feed on what we focus on. Whatever you're focusing on, that's what's feeding your spirit. People that get discouraged, Joshua, start feeding on negative, bleak scenarios. And suddenly they see their faith going smaller and discouragement growing. Nehemiah learned that he had to focus on the task and that God was good and still in control in the middle of his situation.
That's good. And you've laid out four steps for us to fight discouragement. This is part two. And you're taking us into the last two steps in that process. And this has been highly helpful, very practical, something you can do today as you listen to the Word of God. And so if you've missed, friends, if you've missed the first half, or you'd like to hear the entire series, go to PastorMarkJobe.com, J-O-B-E, PastorMarkJobe.com. Download the Straight Talk app for free. Listen and share the entire series. And now for the part two of Fighting Discouragement from Nehemiah chapter 4.
Choose healing over disability. Whether you allow your injury to become a disability or whether you allow a path to healing in your life. Choose healing over disability. Number two, choose peace over conflict. Notice what it says in verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Work hard at living at peace with everyone. Here's what I know, that you, when you have been hurt, emotionally hurt, when there's an injury inside of your heart, it's that people that are hurt want to hurt back. How about it? Watch it in a playground. 12-year-old boys are wrestling around, laughing, pushing each other, and then one accidentally hits a guy in the nose. And the boy pauses a second, looks at his nose, feels a little blood, and what's the natural response? Now I'm going to make you hurt. And they go at him. Because hurt people hurt people. Our natural response that when we're hurt is we want to hurt back. The natural response of, if I have an injury, I want to make sure that whoever injured me also gets injured. And I've seen that over and over. Even in this congregation, as people walk in these doors that are deeply injured in their soul and their spirit, and as you try to get close to these people and try to love them in God and try to really get close in relationship, inevitably they will also be hurt, especially if they have an injury that they have not dealt with. I remember not too long ago, there was a guy that came into the building. And one of the brothers, I hadn't seen him in a little while, and I gave him a hug. I said, "How you doing, brother?" He said, "Don't." I said, "Oh, what's wrong?" He said, "I just had shoulder surgery." You see, I didn't know he had shoulder surgery. Try to say that five times real fast. I didn't know that, so I just gave him a hug. I wasn't trying to hurt him. I was trying to embrace him. I was trying to welcome him. But because he had an injury that wasn't healed, even my embrace caused him hurt. Are you tracking with me? So many people that are injured come into a community of faith like this, And as long as you keep people at a distance, as long as no one really knows your stuff, as long as you don't love people, as long as you don't open up, as long as you're not involved with people, then you're okay. But the moment you let people into your circle, the moment people get close enough, relationships end up hurting each other. People in relationships hurt each other whether they want to or not. And often if you are injured and have not dealt with your injury, you will find yourself at odds or in conflict with a lot of people around you because people will constantly be hurting that part of you that's already injured. And the writer of the Hebrews says, work at peace. Work hard for peace with everyone. Make every effort to live at peace with everyone. That means that it doesn't just come naturally, that we have to work hard at not getting in conflict. And to be holy without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You see, what I'm convinced of is that when you have undealt with injury in your life, that undealt with injury becomes the interpreter by which you interpret the world around you. So someone that has abandonment issues in their life, your dad walked out on you and your kids when you were 10 years old and left. You've never seen them again, but there's this hollowness inside of your soul that you feel like, why did my dad walk out? Why did he reject us? Was there something wrong with us? Was there something that we didn't have? And maybe as an adult, you can fully understand the issue that it was an issue between him and your mom. But in the heart of a child, all you know is that dad left us and never contacted us again. I was rejected by my father, so you grow up with a spirit of rejection. And now you interpret life through the lens of rejection. Every time someone makes a comment, the interpreter of the language of the world becomes the interpreter called rejection. And so you walk into church sometime, you say, hello, how you doing? Hey, haven't seen you in a long time. In your mind, you think, are they saying they missed me? Or are they saying, hey, you're not committed because I haven't seen you in a long time. Are they glad to see me? Or are they saying, oh, I bet you're not that committed. What have you been doing? You know, what are you skipping church because you're watching the Bears game or what? Oh, they probably are judging me. They didn't know that I had a lot of work. They didn't know that I was sick. They should have asked me if I was sick or not. They're so judgmental. And in your mind now, you're mad at that person for just asking, hey, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a long time. You're sitting through church like this, thinking about it, oh, that person. Oh, the nerve they have to judge me like that. If they just got into my life, they would know I had the flu for 3 weeks. They should have called me. Didn't even call me up. All they're doing is judging me. That's all I get, man. Watch that person. I'm not going to invite them to my graduation party. No way. They're off my list. All that person said was, how are you doing? Haven't seen you in a while. But the interpreter of the language of the world, your interpreter is called rejection. Rejection only speaks the language of rejection. Everything in the world, they interpret it as rejection. And so when they speak to your soul because you have an injured spirit, all it keeps telling you is that everything people say is directed towards the injury of rejection. When you have a pain or you have an injury in your life, it affects everything that you do. Everything revolves around that pain. You guard that pain. You think about that pain. It affects you. I remember years ago when I was in high school, I had a wrestling coach that had made us sweat bad. I mean, he worked us out terribly. Crank up the heat in the room, and we worked out for hours. And he decided that he was going to visit Spain, the country that I grew up in. And so I thought, it's my get-back time. He didn't speak any Spanish. I spoke Spanish, and I was his interpreter. So when we got to Spain, We played a couple pranks on him just because he didn't understand the language. And you interpret your surrounding through the interpreter if you don't know the language of the world. You're funneled through that interpreter. So I remember my brother and I was about 15, and my brother and I were walking through the street with our coach, and we ran into some friends, and they said, "Hi, how you doing?" They said, "Who's that?" I said, "Well, he's kind of like a brother." They said, "Oh, I've never met him before." Yeah, we said, "Well, he's kind of special." Of course, he doesn't know what we're saying, so he's just smiling. They said, "What's his name?" And his name was Dave. He had been practicing his rolling his R's for a long time. So every evening he would say, "Hey, how am I doing?" He would say, "How do you say..." See, the word dog in Spanish is perro. And you have to roll your R's. If you're Anglo here and not raised in a Spanish-speaking country, it's probably hard for you to say perro. Try it. Try it going... It's hard for you to do if you weren't raised with it. So he had a real hard time with it. So every evening he would go, "Perra, perra, 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 perra." He would really work hard on it. And so this person said, "What's his name?" And I said, "Hey, Dave, we told him you've been practicing how to say dog, and she wants to hear how you roll your R's." And so he smiled and he goes, "Perra, perra, perra, perra." And then smiles, and she said, "Oh." When he walked away, he had no idea what had happened. Why? Because I was his interpreter. And the interpreter shapes your understanding of the world. Some of you, hurt and pain is doing the very same thing to your life. Life isn't telling you the message that hurt is telling you. Life is telling you one message. People are telling you one thing, but you interpret it all through the lens of your hurt. If you are an oversensitive person here today, you will hear your spouse say things like, "I didn't mean to hurt you. I never intended it. Why do you take it wrongly? That's not what I was saying." If people are saying that around you, it's usually an indication that you have an injury in your soul, and you interpret the world through the injury of your soul, and it makes you want to fight back. It makes you hurt. It makes you resentful. It makes you unforgiving. And the writer of the Hebrews says, pursue, work at peace. And the only qualification that he gives towards peace is make sure that holiness trumps peace. So never compromise your holy living just to make peace with someone. But work at peace with all people.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Fighting Discouragement, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Facing Your Feelings. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 23. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Fighting Discouragement.
Number three, so not only choose healing, choose peace. Number three, this is big, choose grace. Verse 15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. See to it, that word see to it, episcopeo, is the word we use to get bishop or elder from, a shepherd. In other words, the meaning is watch carefully over so that no one falls short of the grace of Theo, the grace of God in the Greek. What is grace? Charis, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. There is something powerful about choosing grace in our life. Grace in our relationships means that we give people what they don't deserve because we've received what we don't deserve. In other words, if God were to give us what you and I deserve, we deserve judgment and condemnation because we've fallen short of the glory of God. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor, God giving us what we don't deserve because of His own merit, not ours. That's grace. The opposite of grace is judgment. The opposite of grace is tooth for tooth, eye for eye. God says, I'm giving you grace. In fact, our salvation, here is one of the greatest misunderstandings, theological misunderstandings of religion around the world, is that people believe that they can earn their way to God, that they can merit their way to God. Christianity is not about meriting your way to God. Christianity is about receiving something you don't deserve through a person that gave you a gift that you never deserved in the first place. If you try to make your way right to God through anything else except the grace of God, then you have misunderstood Christianity. The great majority of people out there, many of whom check their Facebook status by Christian, do not understand how to be right with God, because becoming right with God is about the gift of God that He gives us. The Bible says that we are saved, not by works, but by faith and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace means that He's giving us a gift that you and I could never pay for, that we could never earn, that we could never merit. If you are here today trying to be right with God by works and think that God has a counting system in heaven that says, okay, check 1, 2, 3, good, 1, 2, 3, bad. You got 4 bad, 3 good. You're on the downside now. Oh, yeah. You walked a little lady across the street. 1 more good point. Aha. Now it's balanced out. You live constantly with the uncertainty of whether you are right or wrong with God. Grace is this, that what you and I did not deserve, we deserve condemnation. We deserve separation from God. What you and I did not deserve, what you and I deserve, God did not give us. Instead, He offered us a gift of forgiveness that comes through what Jesus Christ paid on the cross of Calvary. And it's through our faith saying we don't deserve it, but we receive your gift. It's the grace of God that gives us, not of works, so that no one can boast. So let me tell you this, if God gave you and I what we did not deserve, then how much should you and I give others what they do not deserve? You see, God's asking us to give grace, favor. You cannot give what you have not received. Some of us do not understand the grace of God, so we can't give grace. Someone hurts you, you hurt them back. Someone does something wrong to you, you make sure I got it all written down. The grace of God. You need to fully possess it before you can give it. In football season, they do replays to see if someone has full possession of the ball. And sometimes it's really hard to tell. Do they have it fully possessed? Did they drop it? Did it hit the ground? Did they have full possession of it? I'm just wondering, if we did a replay of your life right now, do you fully grasp the grace of God? Do you have full possession of it? It's really important. You will not survive Christianity unless you fully possess grace. Grace gives you the power to live for God. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor that comes in your direction. And lastly, number 4, let me close with this. Choose release over bitterness. Notice what he says, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. That no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. If you've been hurt, but you haven't dealt with your hurt, what happens is that your hurt turns into bitterness and resentment. And that bitterness and resentment develops a root system within your life. And that bitterness and resentment feeds the plant outside of your soul. But there's a root system underneath, and it's called the root of bitterness. Now, a root is a hidden system beneath the surface that feeds a plant. You cannot get rid of the plant unless you get rid of the root. If you just deal with the outside but don't deal with the inside, it'll keep popping back over and over and over again. It's springtime. Some of you are dealing with those beautiful little beasts that we call dandelions. Lord, why did you create dandelions? And I don't know, you've had a tool, one of those long tools that you can buy in the gardening section of Home Depot. And you go out and it's a tool that you put in the ground and it gets the root of the dandelion. If you just pull the flower off, guess what happens? It pops up again. But if you get the root, then you inhibit the possibility of it coming back again because you've gotten the root. I'm going to close with this. Listen, this is really important. The only way to get the root of bitterness out of your heart and soul that's affecting your relationships and the way you view the world is through the tool called forgiveness. Forgiveness is that tool that God gives us that goes deep into the root system of bitterness and pulls it out from the inside. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a repeated choice to tear up the debt incurred by being sinned against or hurt. Forgiveness doesn't mean you stop hurting. Forgiveness doesn't mean what happened to you was okay. It doesn't mean minimizing what occurred to you. It doesn't mean just ignoring what happened. It simply means what happened to me when I was sinned against or hurt, it was painful, it was difficult, but I choose to take the record of what was done to me, and I choose no longer to be a prison guard or have someone have to pay for what they did to me. This is how forgiveness works. Here's a record of the wrongs done against you. And some of us are in our relationships like this. Oh, you did that? Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, I got that one too. Oh, the other day? Uh-huh. Oh, let me write that one. Uh-huh. That attitude, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Oh, again, you did it again. Okay, again, yeah. All right. I got my list. And you walk around with your clipboard. You got that list. And then some little conflict comes up in your marriage. You left the shoes there. Well, you didn't leave that over there. And you didn't put the car in. And when are you going to pay the bills? And you over to... And then suddenly you pull out your list and say, okay, now let's go over what you did now. And you have a whole list that you have. What forgiveness is doing is forgiveness says, I know that I've been sinned against. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, it says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. Because if you hold people in debtor's prison, then God's going to hold you in debtor's prison. You cannot walk in freedom with God if you're not walking in freedom with others. And so this is what forgiveness does. Forgiveness says, because God has forgiven me and I've received grace, I'm willing to forgive others who have sinned against me. Not because they deserve it, not because they've asked for it, not because they have the right attitude, but because I choose to forgive them because I don't want to be bound in debtor's prison. So see this that's been done against me? Yeah. The Bible says forgive others as God has forgiven you. And this is what the Bible says. God casts your sins as far as the east is from the west. He blots out our sins and he says, and he remembers them no more. And some of you say, listen, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. And here's what forgiveness is. God says he forgives our sin and he remembers him no more. That means he doesn't open up the filing cabinet and look at what you've done over and over. It means that when God forgives you, he takes your clipboard and never looks at it again. He doesn't have amnesia. He knows what you've done, but he doesn't rehearse it over and over because the debt is paid. You're no longer guilty before God. Thank God that your past is not brought up to you in God. Thank God that what you did in the past, he does not use as condemnation against you. When God washes you, you are clean. As far as the east is from the west, it doesn't matter where you've been or how long you've been there or how deep it was or how deep your stain was. When you come to God and you've experienced the forgiveness of God, this is what God does and this is what God is asking you to do. He looks at your debt and he says, but I have forgiven you. And so all your debt, all your past, all your garbage, I remember it no more. Yeah, it's gone.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Facing Your Feelings. And tonight was the second half of his message called Fighting Discouragement. Please join us again tomorrow for the last message of our series. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again so much for listening tonight. We hope that you'll join us again tomorrow. Have a wonderful night, and God bless.